It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
We're on, but hello, welcome to that was a freaking nightmare edition of Rico Bronya. The Mets lose in Philadelphia. We were there to experience it all. I've got to basically teach my son not to repeat 95% of the words that we heard tonight. An absolutely brutal postseason loss to the Philadelphia Phillies. It was a missed opportunity. It was a game that up 3-0 with Severino dominating. We're all dreaming about going up 2-0. Taking it back to Citi Field, closing this thing out in a sweep or in four or something, you know, magical and easy. But this was never going to be easy. The Philadelphia Phillies are too good of a team to make it easy. And it's funny with Severino. He was dominant, but at the end of the day, he put up the same pitching line he's put up against the Phillies every time. Six innings, three runs. It just sucks when you have a 3-0 lead, and if memory serves correct, there are two outs and nobody on in the sixth inning, and then Sevy gives up those just bombs to Bryce Harper and to Nick Castellanos. I mean, those two balls, I don't know what they estimated it at, but the Bryce one was an absolute moonshot. You could feel it coming because never in this game did I think it was going to be easy. Even when Vientos went up to make it 2-0, even when Pete hit one out and it was 3-0 and the crowd was quiet and they were booing everybody and you could kind of taste the Philadelphia tears and the smell of alcohol because 98% of the people in the building were drunk tonight. That will not be the case at Citi Field because we're classier. My son was just asking me. We don't do that in New York. We do not do that in New York. We're classier. We don't curse. We don't drink all the time. We don't tell kids to go F themselves. Like, we're New York. We're better than that. But never did I think at 3-0 it was going to be easy. And I was waiting for the Bryce bomb that was going to get him back in the game. The thing I didn't expect after the Bryce bomb was for Nick Castellanos to hit that ball 10 million feet. I mean, that was an absolute moonshot, and I'll give the Philly fans credit for this. This is the only place where I'll give them credit. The place moved when Castellanos hit the home run to tie it. It moved when they took the lead a few innings later on the Bryson Stott triple. Like, it gets a lot of pub for being this loud building, the bank, as these douches in Philly call it. But it was loud. It was electric. It was liquored up, but it was very, very electric. But when the Mets blew the lead, when Sevy blew the lead, you saw the fight from this team. We saw the fight from this team throughout. I mean, it stinks they lost. It stinks we got to go back even 1-1, and who knows how this is going to end up. But between responding to blowing a 3-0 lead with the Brandon Nimmo home run to Vientos, I'm still in stunned disbelief that Vientos in the ninth inning, again after the place was shaking, hit a game-tying two-run home run. And every time the Mets hit a home run, whether it was Vientos' first, Alonso's, Nimmo's, I think basically all their runs were home runs, memory serves, yes, every single one of them was. Every time they hit a home run, I was very proud by all of us. We were very quiet. We celebrated in quietness because with these drunkards in Philadelphia, you never know. But when Mark Vientos hit the game-tying two-run home run, I think we're all thinking the same thing. This team is unbelievable. They are not human. They respond to everything. And so as I sit in traffic staring at that green dump known as Lincoln Financial Field, I do have hope because this team again showed fight at every turn. And as bad as this loss is, and it's bad, they had a 3-0 lead in the seventh inning. They had a one-run lead in the eighth inning. Look, they blew two different leads in this game. Losing at the bottom of the ninth inning was almost expected. Like when Vientos hit the home run, I even said it, they better score another run right now. They better have a lead going to the bottom of the ninth inning. I wasn't confident they were going to get this thing to extras without a runner on second base. But they showed fight at every turn. What's disappointing is that pitching-wise, they couldn't shut them down. Whether it was Severino just finishing that sixth inning with a lead, he gets bombed, given up. I think he threw another sweeper. How many freaking sweepers in a row did he throw that Castellanos throws over the fence? The decision to go to Edwin Diaz, I love. I wasn't confident it was going to work, but it was the best decision possible. Again, we've talked about this throughout the regular season, and here we are in game two of a playoff series. When the opponent has their best hitters up and is the biggest part of a game, two on, two out, one-run lead, in this case it's Kyle Schwarber, like putting anyone else on the mound to try to get that out is malpractice. It really is. anybody else. You go to your best pitcher. And Edwin Diaz may have been fortunate that he got Schwarber on that 3-2 check swing, but I stand by that decision a million out of a million times. And what happened in the eighth inning? Look, again, you have your best pitcher against their best hitters. That's what they had. I mean, who wouldn't want that? Why? So you can save Edwin Diaz for a fictitious ninth inning that may never come? Edwin Diaz failed. And if you want to criticize him for that, sure. Gives up the triple to Bryson Stott. Gives up, I'm trying to remember what even happened in that inning. My God, my brain is scrambled. I think the one thing I remember is, Castellanos flicking it to right field, going first to third, being set up with first and third, one out. And then getting ahead of Bryson Stott, and he's the one who hit the triple that gave the Phillies the lead and made the place move. That's Edwin Diaz failing. That's all it is. That's not bad managing. The only move that I question is sticking with Tyler McGill. That's it. When you go to McGill to clean up Diaz's mess in the eighth inning, which makes complete sense. You don't want to burn him out completely. Even though they have an off day on Monday, you want to make sure you have Edwin Diaz available to come back in game three and not have him throw 100 million pitches. So taking him out for McGill, totally fine. But once you're given a new life and you see who's coming up in that bottom of the ninth inning, I mean, do you really want Tyler McGill on the mound? You've got Reed Garrett as an option. You've got Ryan Stanek, who's looked very good in the postseason and obviously has all the postseason experience. You have Phil Maton. You have a lot of options that are better than Tyler McGill, who did a fine job in the rotation. But now you're asking him in a tie game, in a rough environment, in the bottom of the ninth inning, to face the Phillies' best hitters, which is what he did. It was 9-1-2. He got nine out. He got Schwarber out. And now you got to find a way to navigate Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, Nick Castellanos, and Carlos Mendoza, let him die. That's the only move I have a problem with. That's it. Going to Diaz was the right move. It just didn't work because Edwin Diaz failed. Look, Edwin Diaz has had a mixed bag of a season. He's had a lot of very good moments. He's had a lot of very bad moments. And there's been some good ones that have saved this season. You go back to what happened in Milwaukee just a couple of days ago. You go back to that game three against Arizona. Atlanta, game 161. Like, it hasn't been all bad. It's been a very mixed bag of Edwin. There have been signs of 2022. And then you've got the horrible moments that kick you in the nuts, which is what this game was. But Mendy did what I think most of us have always wanted him to do, which is get the best pitcher on the mound against their best hitters, mano a mano, and say, go get the job done. And he failed. He didn't get the job done. Offensively, they broke out with home runs. Pete going deep was great. Now, look, all their home runs were basically wall scratchers, but they don't count any different. So even though the Phillies pops went, 10,000 feet, Vientos continues to become a star in the postseason. Pete hitting the home run is big, considering you're trying to build off what happened in Game 3 against Milwaukee. And obviously, Brandon Immo, who could forget that? I mean, I guess it's easy to forget it because they lost the freaking game. So when you lose, all you're going to remember is the last play of the game, which was Tyler McGill giving up the base hit to Castellanos, which you could feel coming. You could, again, McGill being allowed to be on the mound to make that pitch and that sequence and face Castellanos with two hits in a row, you could feel him busting out, the bomb of a home run, the base hit that set up the rally in the eighth inning that gave the Phillies the lead. Like, you could feel it. You could feel that inning develop. That's the big mistake. And you could argue at different points when you want to take McGill out. You don't even have to have him come out for the ninth inning in a tie game. Two outs, Trey Turner gets on, especially via walk. Right then and there, you get him out of the game for Bryce Harper. He walks Bryce Harper, get him out again. But Mendy let Tyler McGill stay on the mound, lose this game, and then we, me, my wife, my dad, my son, we all had to walk out of that place as a loser. Let's ask everybody how it was. Honey, what did you think of being in Philadelphia?
Oh, man, that was rough.
That was rough?
That was rough.
Classless pigs, you want to call them that?
I can't say. I mean, it was a lot to handle.
Yes. That's her nice way of saying they're classless pigs. Jet, what did you think of being in Philadelphia with the Philly fans? You may have to speak loud. Anything? He's thinking about it. What? I'll interview you. What did you think of Philly fans? Do you think they're disgusting?
Yes.
Yes. Do you think that they cursed a lot?
Yeah.
Without...
I lived in Philadelphia for like 10 times.
20 times. Yeah, I think it was more than 20 times. Dad, have you ever been to a worse environment?
Yeah, the last time I was in Philly.
Yeah, so we're walking in, My dad's got the Tug McGraw jersey. Jets got the Rico jersey. Obviously, the Philly fans have no idea who Rico Bronya is. Like, I don't even think there was a reference to Rico Bronya. They have no idea because they're disrespectful losers. The guy behind us said, what a troll jersey about the Tug McGraw jersey. Is that what he said?
Yes.
What's trolling about it? Tug McGraw was a great Philly. He was a great man. These people are imbeciles. They're stupid. They don't understand anything. That's a great, like, if you think about great Mets and great Phillies, right? And you made a list. We could do a Rico on that, actually. Great Mets and great Phillies. I know it's before my time, but Tug McGraw's probably towards the top of the list. It's Tug McGraw and it's Lenny Dykstra, right? Who am I forgetting that would even be on that list? And don't say Billy Wagner for anybody listening. No one wants to hear that. Like, those are the top guys.
Not including Pedro.
Pedro Martinez. No, we're not including Pedro. Yankee fans may feel that way. Philly fans are, look, some of them, like on the way out, like I had one guy who said, hey, that was a great game and this is going to be a great series. And I said, okay, thank you. Congratulations. This other guy who I think looked like me, except if I was a lot dirtier, a lot fatter, and a lot trashier, gave me the double bird and then said, good game. So I didn't know once he said good game if that meant peace on earth or if, you know, he was just showing me the double bird. But it was everything you could imagine about these people. What is the double bird? It's a good question, Jet. So there's a way to say the F word without saying it. You can use a finger to say it. Have you learned that in school yet? Yeah. So it's, if you do it with two fingers, it's like a code way of saying they're giving you the double bird. Because the bird is when they're telling you that bad word with just their finger. See, going to Philadelphia is educational. Don't you feel like you've learned a lot more? Yeah. Here's what we learned. We're done coming to this stupid city. We've given them enough of our money. Here's the good news, all right? This series is far from over. The Mets now have to protect Citi Field. Hopefully, it will be 99.9% Met fans. Sean Manaea's got to deliver a big performance. Jose Quintana, I assume, will come back in game four. He needs to deliver a big performance. But this is a very, very tough Philadelphia team. And you should have known, if you didn't already, they were not going to go down easy. Even with a 3-0 lead, even with taking the 4-3 lead, it was just never going to be easy. So if you made this trip like we did, here's the bad news. The bad news is we got cursed at as we were leaving. The bad news is we watched our team lose a playoff game. The good news is we'll never forget the game. And if we win the series, that's the key to all this. If we win the series, then thinking back to being in Philadelphia for game two will be a wonderful experience.
I also saw someone celebrating.
You saw who celebrating? You saw a girl celebrating?
No, like a kid.
Oh, you saw a kid? Yeah. Did you curse them out or were you keeping it classy? Yeah. Now, we're classy here in New York. Anyhow, we'll do a more fuller edition of the Rico on Monday night. But we're sitting in traffic heading home, and now we all just want to cry ourselves to sleep. And I have no idea what happened in the Giant game, so that's good. I can get home and watch that on DVR. Unfortunately, I know what happened in the Jet game, and that was painful. So thank you very much for listening, subscribing, downloading to a little mini drive-home edition, a depressing edition, a Philadelphia's filled with a bunch of disgusting animals edition. What?
Nightmare.
Nightmare. Oh, Nightmare, yes. The Nightmare edition, that's good, of Rico Bronya. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.